Radio Prague News.
A Czech MEP who was sent to ascertain the condition of jailed Ukrainian opposition leader Yulia Tymoshenko has said there is reason for concern. Newly elevated Cardinal Dominik Duka has returned to Prague, and the victim of a judicial error is demanding 35 million crowns in compensation. The jailed former Prime Minister of Ukraine, Yulia Tymoshenko, failed to receive adequate medical care in prison and her condition is serious. Czech MEP Zuzana Rojtová told the CTK news agency by phone from Kiev on Tuesday. MEP Rojtová, a former Czech health minister, was sent to Kiev to prepare a report on Yulia Tymoshenko's condition for the European Parliament. Mrs. Rojtová said she had been allowed to study the opposition leader's medical records, though was not allowed to meet with her in person. The MEP said that the medical records clearly show that the findings in the area of the lumbar spine are so serious that a decision should have been made on possible surgery. She said that instead of treating her, the prison authorities had taken away Tymoshenko's crutches, halted administering painkillers, and subjected her to long sessions of interrogation. Rojtová also noted that she considers substantiated her family's fears she was being exposed to toxic substances in order to make her fold under pressure. The Archbishop of Prague, Dominik Duka, newly elevated to the post of cardinal in a ceremony at the Vatican on Saturday, returned to Prague on Tuesday. The cardinal headed straight for St. Vitus Cathedral, where he bowed to the relics of St. Adalbert and knelt for a few minutes in silent prayer. He was then received by President Václav Klaus, who said Dominik Duka's appointment to the post of cardinal was confirmation of the good work of the Czech Catholic Church in upholding basic Christian values in present-day Czech society. Alongside his predecessor, former Prague Archbishop Miloslav Vlk, Dominik Duka is the country's second living cardinal. The Security Committee of the Lower House is holding a special session on the functioning of the High State Attorney's Office in Prague. The session, called by the head of the Security Committee, Radek Jon, of Public Affairs, was called to throw more light on an in-depth audit ordered by the provisional head of the High State Attorney's Office in Prague, Stanislav Mečel. However, critics say that the real reason for the meeting is the politicization of a rift between the Supreme State Attorney's Office and the High State Attorney's Office in Prague. Relations between the two institutions are strained in the wake of a court ruling last week, which effectively reinstated Vlastimil Rampula, whom the Supreme State Attorney had accused of sweeping corruption cases involving politicians under the carpet, to his post at the head of the Prague High State Attorney's Office. In related news, the Prague Municipal Court, which on Tuesday made available the full text of the verdict, said Mr. Rampula's dismissal was not sufficiently justified. The ruling has also undermined the position of Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who sacked Mr. Rampula at the request of Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman. Some observers claim that the controversy may be linked to efforts by the junior coalition party Public Affairs to gain control of the Justice Ministry, a claim the party has strongly rejected. The victim of a judicial error is demanding 35 million crowns in compensation. Jan Šafránek, who was wrongly sentenced for rape, spent a year in prison before police caught up with a real culprit. In one of the first court rulings on the case, a Prague district court ordered the Justice Ministry to pay Šafránek 366,000 crowns in compensation relating to lost profits. The Prague Supreme Court is to decide how much Šafránek should get for the trauma he suffered and damage to his reputation. Commentators say this is one of the most glaring cases of judicial error in the country's modern history. A rise in alcohol consumption among teenagers has resulted in a move to tighten punishment for selling alcohol to minors. The National Anti-Drug Coordinator, Jindřich Vobotil, on Tuesday confirmed that a proposed amendment to the law should significantly raise fines for the offence and should give the authorities the right to close down for several days pubs which repeatedly break the law. According to a survey by ESPAD, the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, 21% of Czech 16-year-olds go on a drinking spree at least three times a month. 15% of those drink spirits. The number of teenage girls who drink beer has doubled since 1995. The extended weekend metro service in the Czech capital will soon be a thing of the past. Prague city councillors on Tuesday voted unanimously to scrap the extended service of Prague's metro and bus lines 1 hour past midnight on Friday and Saturday nights. The decision was taken for financial reasons and other restrictions are expected to follow. It is not yet clear when the change to metro and bus schedules will be introduced. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast with daytime highs between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, a new survey shows that underage drinking in the Czech Republic is on the rise. A million-crown incentive looks to win over municipalities for possible nuclear waste sites. And later on in this week's Czech history, the manuscript that launched the science of genetics is back at home in the city of Brno. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more. Here on Radio Prague. The European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs has found that the number of 16-year-olds in the Czech Republic who drink beer or hard liquor on a regular basis has gone up. Back in 1995, 14% of the country's 16-year-olds drank at least three times a month, but last year the percentage moved up to 20%. By contrast, marijuana use has dropped, if only slightly. Jan Wellinger has the story.
According to ESPAD, more 16-year-olds in the Czech Republic are drinking than ever. Numbers released on Monday show that more than 20% of them now drink alcohol on a regular basis, at least three times a month, usually around five beers in a session. But 14% of the underage drinkers opt for spirits. The underage drinkers in the study, out of almost 4,000 students from 360 elementary and secondary schools that took part, admit that alcohol has already complicated situations in their lives. 24% and 20% said that it had negatively impacted ties with friends and family, while 16% admitted alcohol had led, for example, to unprotected sex. According to child psychologists, the pressure on teens regarding alcohol consumption is greater than ever, and teens have to be aware of the risks. The government would also like to introduce tougher measures clamping down on establishments that sell to minors and flaunt the law. According to the daily Lidové Noviny, a government interministerial task force suggests offending establishments could suffer tough sanctions, such as being closed down for several months. Obviously, key areas. 77% of 16-year-olds who took part in ESPAD said that when they drank, it was in drinking establishments, bars, restaurants, and discotheques. Currently, cases where establishments sell to minors usually end only in a small 3,000-crown fine for bartenders or the waiters in question, Lidové Noviny says. On the flip side, the numbers in the European survey have shown some improvement in the area of illegal drugs. The use of marijuana, ecstasy, and harder drugs like Bervetin have all gone down, according to experts. All the same, Czech 16-year-olds remain among the worst on the continent when it comes to underage drinking and finished first when it comes to marijuana abuse. Another alternative is to put greater emphasis on prevention. Former top volleyball coach Josef Farmačka has led children in sport for more than 20 years. In his view, putting money into programs that allow teens alternatives to the pub is of primary importance.
The fact that our project, the volleyball school, is under the auspices of the National Anti-Drug Center is no accident. Clearly, this kind of project is aimed at prevention. I have had thousands of kids in the programs over the years. It is not about turning them into top athletes, but at providing children with opportunities in life and helping them grow up to be balanced individuals. That said, the sad part is that the program has become less attractive for private investors, and it takes a lot of effort to maintain.
ESPAD, the European School Survey Project, has been conducted since 1995 and repeated every 4 years. Many hope that by the next inception enough will have been done for the numbers in the Czech Republic to have improved. But critics charge for that to happen, more comprehensive strategies by the government will be needed.
That was Jan Wellinger with that report. This is Radio Prague. While the Czech Republic relies on nuclear power for some 30% of its total energy supply, the Radioactive Waste Depository Authority is facing difficulties in finding new locations for depositing nuclear waste. As an incentive for municipalities to agree to geological research on their territory, the state-run authority is now offering mayors millions of crowns. Sara Borufka has the details.
In an effort to convince municipalities to agree to research for deep geological nuclear waste repositories on their territory, the Czech Radioactive Waste Depository Authority has promised every town or city that participates a financial incentive of 600,000 Czech crowns annually. In addition, 30 hellers would be paid for each square meter that becomes part of the research area. However, the offer is being met with resistance by some mayors who fear that agreeing to research now may make them a likely candidate to become a nuclear waste storage site in the future. The deputy director of the Radioactive Waste Depository Authority, Jiří Slovák, says this is not the case.
Accepting this initiative is not a commitment to becoming the future site of a deep geological depository. The money will be paid out to municipalities simply for participating in the geological research aimed at finding suitable locations. The research entails geophysical measurements, geochemical samples, and after we evaluate the data, we will drill exploratory boreholes. We expect to drill 2 to 3 500-meter holes and another one or two with a depth of 1 kilometer.
Currently, the Czech Republic has 3 above-ground nuclear waste depositories in Jáchymov, Dukovany, and near Litoměřice. While deep geological disposal has been studied for many decades, it is still only in the testing phase and a large part of the public remains skeptical. Mayors argue that their hands are tied. Local referenda that were held across the country between 2000 and 2003 indicated that most citizens are opposed to living near a nuclear waste site. Mr. Slovák says that the situation has since changed and that his organization has publicly pledged geological research would not automatically force municipalities to become sites of radioactive waste storage down the line. However, local politicians are wary of the state's unclear stance on nuclear power and the changing energy agenda, says the mayor of Dolní Cerekev in the Vysočina region, Zdeněk Jirsa.
It's very simple. Before we can agree, we need to know what amount of nuclear waste would potentially be stored in our municipality, and then we can decide whether further discussions are possible. Martin Kocourek, the former Minister of Industry and Trade, said that 18 new reactors would be built by 2060. The new minister is saying something that is diametrically opposed to this: 2 reactors in Temelín and 1 in Dukovany. As long as the state does not tell us the exact parameters of what we're talking about, we'll find it hard to believe that the government is giving us reliable guarantees or promises.
For now, the Radioactive Waste Depository Authority says it will continue discussions with local mayors who have turned the offer down. To date, 7 municipalities have given research the green light.
Many thanks to Sara Borufka. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. It can easily be called one of the most important documents in the history of modern science. Gregor Mendel's priceless manuscript on the inheritance of plant traits, composed in Brno in 1865, opened the door to the field of genetics. This month, after many years of changing hands and much negotiation, it was brought home. Here's this week's edition of Czech History. Not much remains today of the little garden where Abbot Gregor Mendel spent a decade watching pea plants grow. Fortunately, though, the manuscript made of his unique observations is still in good condition and is currently sitting in a safe in the Mendel Museum in Brno after a 30-year anabasis. Czech Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg made concerted efforts to bring the precious document back to the country.
I became involved with this because it truly is a landmark scientific work created in the monastery in Brno. It is the property of the monastery in Brno, so that is where it belongs. I visited Baden-Württemberg where I discussed the matter with the minister president. But it is not my achievement that it was possible to arrange this. There was a lot of work involved. The value of this document is in its content, in the one-of-a-kind work that led to the foundation of an entire science. How much it would go for in an auction, I don't know, but that is not important. The important thing is that it is one of the key manuscripts of modern natural science.
In 1865, Mendel compiled his observations of tens of thousands of pea plants under the headline Experiments on Plant Hybridization and delivered it to the Natural History Society of Brno, to no particular acclaim. The findings were appreciated and a few articles about them went to press, but it would be decades longer before they were understood and taken up by the wider scientific community. Gregor Mendel himself spent most of the rest of his life dealing with the administrative pains of his office as the abbot of the old Brno Abbey and died in 1881. Today there is no price that can be put to the thin stack of yellow paper that is Gregor Mendel's Experiments on Plant Hybridization, with its splendid calligraphy and diagrams demystifying the workings of life on Earth. Ondřej Dostal is the curator of the Mendel Museum in Brno.
He was able to predict something he could not see but anticipated to be inside of organisms, that something from the mother and the father was passed on to the ensuing generation. This is the first and the most important article leading to the discovery of genetics. It is a work that was absolutely fundamental, that helped ensure the foundation of genetics as it is today.
The latter history of Mendel's breakthrough treatise is somewhat convoluted. The monastery was closed down in 1953, and experiments on plant hybridization was apparently hidden by the Augustinian monks until the 1980s, when it was sent for safekeeping to Vienna and then to Germany. For Mendel's successor, Abbot Evgen Martinec, its return to the Augustinians was the only appropriate solution.
Everything created by a monk living in the monastery stays in the monastery. So if a work is made here, then this is where it stays. And since this manuscript had been living a life of its own in recent years, I'm very happy that it was possible that it be returned to us.
For the Mendel family, however, the situation is not so clear-cut and certainly not resolved. They say that the manuscript was in the possession of a family company since 2001, when it was given to them by a monk who had in turn received it from a scientific society of which Mendel was a member. They cite evidence that the Augustinians made no claim to the manuscript as of 2002, and say the Czech government reached a deal with them despite knowing that the order may not be the proper owner. The German family intends to take the matter to the courts. There was no talk of further disputes this month, though, as the manuscript was ceremoniously unveiled in Brno. Mr. Dostal says that plans for its exhibition will be finalized as soon as possible, pending an examination of its condition.
Hopefully the manuscript will go on display soon. It depends on what arrangement is made with the old Brno Abbey. What I'm sure will happen first is that the manuscript will be studied to make sure that it has not been damaged in any way, and then we can decide on what occasion it will be presented. We assume it will be sometime early this year or in the summer months, but it will certainly be presented as soon as possible.
Do některých z letních měsíců, ale bude jistě představen v co nejkratší možné době.
What experiments on plant hybridization tell us about how life carries on and evolves is certainly well known, but as Ondřej Dostal says, the manuscript also offers insights into Gregor Mendel himself and the kind of person that he was.
Mendel presented his information, described what he had measured, what he had discovered, and everything that he had noticed in this document. The manuscript shows us that he was a very precise person, very attentive to detail, and a very clever researcher, practically a genius.
For the Mendel Museum, which is located in the old Brno Monastery by the garden where genetics had their inauspicious beginnings, there can hardly be a better time to receive the great man's life's work as it prepares to celebrate the 190th anniversary of his birth this July. You'll surely be able to find more coverage on the 190th anniversary of Gregor Mendel's birth at our website throughout the year, www.radio.cz. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
You are listening to Radio Prague's special language teaching program, which examines the Czech language from head to toe. Last time, we looked at some idioms using the word head, or
hlava.
We are not going to move any further today because it's time to take a look at a very important organ located on the head, the eye.
Oko.
We say the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Oko do duše okno.
Because the eyes are supposed to reflect our inner feelings. Though it may be different in other cultures, in this region you are supposed to look people in the eye when talking to them.
Dívat se do očí.
If you want to speak to someone,
mezi čtyřma očima,
you are looking for a private talk where there will be only two pairs of eyes. If parents and children look very much alike, Czechs say
jakoby rodičům z oka vypadl,
which, translated word for word, means as if he dropped out of his parents' eye, or, to use an English idiom, he's the spitting image of his parents. If you hear someone say
to mi padlo do oka,
it fell into my eye, it means that something has caught their eye, their attention. And if they are talking about a person, it means that they liked him or her at first sight. Everybody understands the saying an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or
oko za oko, zub za zub.
There are other idioms which work in the same way both in Czech and English. For example,
dělat na někoho oči,
make eyes at someone, meaning to try and attract someone, to flirt. And if that works out, the two will probably have eyes only for each other.
Mají oči jenom pro sebe.
At least for some time. If you own something precious which you cherish and keep safe, Czechs describe it with the idiom
střežit jako oko v hlavě.
Guard something like one's own eye in the head, or cherish someone like the apple of one's eye. For women, the word
oko
can mean a very unpleasant thing, a ladder on a stocking. We hate to hear
teče ki oko na punčoše,
or your stocking is laddering. And Jan, who's been keeping an eye on the clock, is winking at me now that it's time to say goodbye. So until next time,
naschledanou.
That That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.